of the little hymn sheet, let us sing together hymn number 4. Number 4 on the front page of your hymn sheet. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I'm free. Now I can say I'm pardoned, happy and justified, free, saved by my blessed Redeemer. This is the Savior for me. Just as I was, He received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. Loved with a love that's unchanging, blessed with all blessings so free. How shall I tell out His praises? This is the Savior for me. Let's all sing it with that in mind. And if you haven't yet claimed Him as your own Savior, do it while we sing the song. Number 4 on the front page of the sheet. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. Now I can say I am pardoned, happy and justified free, saved by my blessed Redeemer. This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. Just as I was, He received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. Loved with a love that's unchanging, blessed with all blessings so free. How shall I tell out His praises? This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. So we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Turn the page. But over to the back side. We're going to sing a hymn that comes to mind that will be of interest, and especially when we sing this song. Because some of you folks here may think, oh, that's a song for children. But some years ago, I was asked to go to visit a lady, and I was told she's very old. Feeble
and very forgetful.
So maybe you can't even get to talk to her. But visiting with her a little while, they said she forget everything. You know, we do that when you get old. But anyway, instead of forgetting, she was asked this question. By the way, did you ever go to Sunday school when you were a little girl? Yes. Sure I did. Did you ever learn any songs?
Sure.
You don't remember any of them, do you? I sure do. What one do you remember? What one do you know? What's the first one you ever learned, dear people here tonight? Perhaps it may, I hope it is anyway, that one that here, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, but remember, that was when you were a little girl. And now you're not a little girl anymore. Yes, but he still loves me. Oh, to you, dear souls here who advanced in years, his love, we were singing, is you're loved with a love that's unchanging. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, and he never changes. He'll be the same. All right, we'll sing this little song, number 40, but only two verses. The first two verses. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let a little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, if you have your testaments or Bibles, please open to the Gospel by John and chapter 4. The Gospel by John and chapter 4. And in this reading, we're going to read a couple of verses at the end of chapter 3, the last two verses. But before we read, just let's have this little thought in mind. How solemn this occasion is. Do any of you really realize how solemn it is? Do we all combined realize what a solemn occasion it is? It's the eternal issue that are brought before us through the written word of God. And not only that, it's not man's word. It's God's word. And it's this that makes it so exceedingly solemn, that every individual in this room, speaking not now just to the whole world, just suppose this is the whole world, every individual here will someday bow their knees before the Lord Jesus and with your very own tongue confess that he is Lord, and that to the glory of God the Father. And it's God not only who invites you. You've been invited time and again. You've been told in Sunday schools. Most of you have been in Sunday schools as little children. You've been told of the love of Jesus. You've been told that you have a never dying soul. You've been told that you're passing out of this world and on into eternity to be forever with the Lord if you believe him. If you believe him now, if you confess him now while you're here on earth, for it's here where sin has entered, on this very planet in which we live. Yeah, but that isn't all. That's one side of it. But it's here where the love of God and the love of his own Son was fully told out at Calvary, when Jesus went to those hours of darkness and God took the sins of every believer and laid them upon his own Son. covered the sin with darkness, and turned his back. God forsook his son on the cross. We little realize what that means to be forsaken. But sometimes you get a little experience and a little suggestion of it. But you know, dear souls, there isn't a one of you here, not one of us, that didn't deserve to be forever forsaken of God. Oh, you've been such a nice boy. You've been such a good girl. You've been such a benevolent person all your life. He wouldn't forsake you. He did, he would, if you would not receive Christ as Savior. He forsook his own son on account of my sins. He can't forsake me. Well, you're going to do something tonight with Jesus. Everyone in this room tonight will do something with Jesus, except, of course, the little infants who can't understand. And yet he would take them up in his arms, as you know, and lay his hands upon them, bless them, and call them his very own. But let's turn to our chapter. The last two verses of the third chapter of the Gospel by John, and then on in chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, is that you? Are you one of them? He that believeth on the Son hath something. What have you? What have you? Oh, according to this, you have that which is everlasting. Hath everlasting life. But don't you believe, if you're one of those who don't believe, you may be convinced that the Word of God is true, but the faith that's spoken of here is that which causes action, produces some result. When you find out that you're the sinner for whom he died and he's waiting to receive you, you'll tell him from the innermost recesses of your heart. And you can do it right where you sit in your seat if you've never done it before. And say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to receive you as my own Savior. Well, anyway, what's the rest of that verse? He that believeth not the Son. God loves his Son, you know. It's the one in whom he finds all his delight. And remember this, dear soul. If you, any one of you, any one of us, are to find any true delight even here. Oh, I know there's a pleasure in sin for a season, but that's not true delight. True delight can be had only through believing and or receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own Savior. And friends, this may be the very last occasion when the gospel will be preached in your ears. One thing positively certain, it's not the same audience here tonight as it was last night, nor the night before. And it'll never be the same one again. Never on the whole the rest of your life here on earth. Someone will be missing. Someone will be present who is not present tonight if you had another meeting tomorrow night. And looking back over just 1 year out of this company right here, you could remember different ones who were here on earth at least a year ago. They're not here anymore. You'll never see them again here on earth, and never again in eternity, except for those who've gone home to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord, but waiting for that time when he's going to take all his own. And do you realize that the very next moment you may hear that assembling shout, would you like to be left here in this room? You were advised a little bit ago not to leave your parcels of belongings in this room, the door is going to be shut. And you will be shut out. The doors of mercy are going to be shut. Will you be shut out or in? All depends on your attitude toward the Lord Jesus. Now coming to our chapter 4. Well, the wrath of God abides forever on those that believe, but for those that shut out from entering into the Father's house. Now, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself? And notice his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, Well, I have no husband. And Jesus answered unto her, Well, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. We worship. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went away into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath anyone brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white to harvest, the white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto his life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye sowed, whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So, when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's as far as we read. Many precious things are brought before us, full of instruction, but particularly tonight, we believe, beloved friends, that God would have all of you people here, children, yes, older folks, yeah, young folks with their family, yeah, everybody. What would he have you do? He would have you looking to his Son. He would have you be satisfied with a look at him. For there's life, you know, in a look at the crucified one. But he hadn't been crucified yet here in this chapter. However, it starts out here, you know, and tells us that he must needs go through Samaria. He left Judea, going well. But what was the need of going through Samaria? Oh, you can describe it in various different ways. But beloved friend, there's one who is your creator. There's one, and that one knows your need and had made provision for it before ever the foundations of this earth were laid. And it's God, beloved friends, who invites you to put your confidence and trust in his Son. It's true that the woman had a message to take it to the others. It's true that you and I can be a little light in the darkness around us. But after all, what can you do? Well, you can do perhaps like John the Baptizer did. What did he do? Why, when he actually found out who that was, that was walking there before them, and knew that it was really the Son of God, well, he just simply said, Behold the Lamb of God. Who is he? God's Son. Now, dear friend, the message that you have to hear tonight comes from heaven. It comes from God. And you cannot go out of this room the same way that you came in. It will have an added responsibility to each and every one of us to be more concerned the little time we're kept here about the glory of God's Son, the one in whom he finds all his delight. Well, what's the need of going to Samaria? Well, let's think of the world now again. What's the need of him coming down here into this world? Why does God need to command people all and men everywhere to repent? Why does he do it? Is it because he hates you? No, this gospel is the gospel of the love of God, telling his love not only to his son, but increased love to his son because he was willing to lay down his life. What for? In order that you and I might be saved. So he must needs go through Samaria. Now, it's remarkable to think, you know, when he come and got to get over there to the well, he was wearied with the journey. Who wearied with the journey? It's no wonder that we get wearied sometime, and as we go on and years add up, you find it out more and more. But why was he, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, why would he be worried? Beloved friends, because he was foreordained to come in due time to become a man, not laying aside his deity at all. He is God as well as man. But as a man, he felt the weariness of the journey in the same measure, perhaps not as much either, perhaps that's wrong. But anyway, he felt it as keenly as you and I feel what it is to be weary. And what did he do? He went and sat down there by the well at noon. I wonder what he did by sending away his disciples then to buy food. Was he hungry too? Could he have been hungry? Well, he could. Could he have been thirsty? I expect he was. But anyway, he sent his disciples away before the woman came. I wonder why that would be. Do you know the reason? Could it be possible, at least that it suggests this? It must be a thing between yourself and the Lord alone. Individually, you must have something to do with Jesus. Individually. Oh, how nice it is when little children lay hold of these precious truths and tell their mothers and fathers, Mama, I believe in the Lord Jesus as my Savior. This little story, it was in the Message of Love paper several months ago. Maybe you all remember it, maybe not. Doesn't hurt to repeat it, though. Someone said to a little boy, I don't know how old a little boy is, do you? Can you tell me how old a little boy should be? Oh, there's no way to answer a question like that. He's a little boy. But anyway, this boy's big enough so he could understand what they talked about. Someone said to him, well, hello, little boy. Have you found Jesus? And the little boy was so surprised. Why, he says, no, I never knew that he was lost. But he found me, and he's my Savior. Dear children, can you say it yourself? Jesus is seeking after you. He's going about everywhere, holding out his arms, revealing the love of his heart, willing to take you into relationship with himself. Will you let him? Will you let Jesus come into your heart tonight? If you do, dear soul, you'll be delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into here the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Marvelous thing to think about. Well, at any rate, the disciples are gone to buy food. And here he sits all alone. Who's that coming in there? Oh, there's a woman. And when she come to the well, what did she say to him? Not a word. At first, he spoke first. Who is it that invites people to come to him? Why, the one whom God has given everything. All authority belongs to him. It's his word that we believe. In fact, it's he himself. Many things you might think of if you go back to the first chapter, but our time won't allow us to do that. But when he sees her, he says to her, give me to drink. Did you ever have to ask for a drink? Do you ever know what it is to be really thirsty and almost famished for thirst? It's a marvelous thing when you get a good drink of fresh water then, isn't it? Well, anyway, what happened? Give me to drink. You know he didn't say, give me a drink? Why didn't he say, give me a drink, please? No, he said, give me to drink. Do you think that you could give him to drink now? Oh, dear souls here, whoever you may be, saved or unsaved, if you're unsaved, we say it with utmost reverence. It would be refreshing to his soul, yes, even joy in heaven, in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. And what about you, the rest of you then? Oh, well, I gave him a drink when I was saved. But are you trying to satisfy him now? You know what? On that cross when he hung there alone, after those hours of darkness were over, I thirst. Was he thirsty again there? Yes, he was. What was he thirsty for? What did they give him to drink? Oh, they dipped the sponge in vinegar and gave it to him and he took it. Was he that famished for thirst? Well, no doubt he had physical thirst. But that wasn't uppermost in his mind. It was that the scripture might be fulfilled, which was spoken of him. All the Old Testament scriptures, not all of them fulfilled yet, but they will be. And he's still thirsting for that, if we may use that expression, for that occasion or that time to come. But what about the drink from the woman? Oh, she looked at him and says, how come you, being a Jew, asking drink of me, a Samaritan woman? You know the Jews and the Samaritans don't have any dealings with one another. Now, beloved friends, listen. If you remember nothing more from this meeting tonight, remember this. The Lord said something to her. And what did he say? If you knew, don't you know that the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritan? Never mind. If you knew who, not what, if you knew who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, you'd do something yourself. Without any doubt, we can say it without any qualification, that every individual here tonight, especially if you're unsaved, if you actually knew who it is that speaks to you through this written word, you do something about it. For this is his written word, not just merely to tell us what happened to the Samaritan woman. For he's without respect of persons in that respect. Why, yes, whosoever reaches out to Adam's every son and daughter, regardless of who or where you may be, if you knew the gift of God, and notice, who, the person, who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, what would you do? If there's an unsaved one here tonight, let God's Holy Spirit apply that word to your conscience and heart, and find out who Jesus is, and do something about it, right where you sit. You'd receive him. In other words, he said, you would ask of him. And would it be in vain? Did any sinner ever come to Jesus and find him and get turned down? Never. Where there's reality, where there's true thirst, you'll get refreshing for your soul, and it'll be that which be increasing while you go journey on through this scene, but to be fully satisfied when? Perhaps tonight. And those of us who are the Lord, can we give him any refreshing in as we journey along? Wouldn't you think, in the measure that we've had the Lord before our hearts and minds, when our minds could, the loins of our minds could be girded up, thinking of him, don't you think it might be a little refreshing to him even where he is? We say it reverently, not making any doctrine of it in any way, but we believe it's true because you're loved with a love that's unchanging, and he's just the same today as he was yesterday when he walked here on this earth, and he'll be the same forever. Well, anyway, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, then you would do something. You would ask of him, and he would give you living water. What's the effect on the woman? Poor soul. She didn't understand what he meant. Many people don't. The natural mind can't take it in. But if you remember who it is that's speaking, then you can see, well, that doesn't belong to man. Man can't do those things. They must be something more than a man. On a calendar pad recently, there was a little article told about some time ago, some years ago, I suppose it was, in China. after a war, there were two men imprisoned, and they could see each other, but they were not allowed to communicate or speak a word. But at Christmas time, they had been given this privilege and been told beforehand, you can say to each other one word on Christmas Day, only one word. What would you think if you had been in that condition? What word would you want to get? What word would be effective? Well, the Spirit of God was indwelling in these two men, and He gave them the same word, unbeknownst to the other. And what do you suppose it was? Some of you have read it, some of you heard it, but others have not. The one word that they both spoke to each other is Emmanuel. What does that mean? Oh, that's one of the names that was told that he was to have before ever he came. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's the word they spoke. Now he has another name, Olam, for that matter. But his other name is Jesus. And that name means Savior. And if you receive him, then, beloved friend, you will get a measure of quenching of your thirst right now. But you can continue to drink of that living water, because he didn't say, I'll give you a drink out of Jacob's well. A lot of things we could think about in that respect. But that isn't what we have in mind. It's really, dear beloved friend, the thought that you may never, never again hear the glad tidings. And God himself is inviting you to come now, and warning you, not only pleading and inviting, but commanding you to repent. And why? Out of love for your never-dying soul. Why? Because he does not want you to come into judgment. In the last verse of the third chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Oh, if there's an unsaved one in this room tonight, take the words from the Lord Jesus himself. And remember, that if you don't receive Christ as Savior, you will have God's wrath abiding on you in all eternal ages. Tonight, he entreats you in love for your never-dying soul, for he does not want you to come into judgment. And there's no need of it, because Christ has paid a sufficient price to save the whole human family, and that's God's desire. It'll never be, because we won't have, but he will have a family just the same. Well, at any rate, now there's something else that comes along here. And what do we get then? Well, she says, he begins to talk to him about different things. So he says, verse 13, Jesus answered, well, I better go back a little further, because I can't afford to skip over that, what we get there. After the verse 10, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me, that thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Got into conversation with the Lord. And are you greater? Who do you think you are? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and even his cattle? What a word this is to you, dear young fathers and mothers. Oh, how precious it is to see a company like we've been viewing here the past few days. The families together, the fathers and the mothers and the little children in between, like a book of those leaves to be cared for. How grand it is. And just think, here it is, the children brought in. God couldn't go on through, it seems like, or rather the Holy Spirit wouldn't go through and say that without bringing something for the children. They drank of that same water. And where do we learn else about that? Oh, there's a precious truth you find in that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There it speaks about Israel. And were not all our fathers baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea? And did all eat? Did all now, all our fathers, but that leaves the women and the children out, doesn't it? Not there. Oh, no. It took every one of them. Because you remember, if you go back to the Old Testament scriptures and you read Why, they wouldn't leave such a thing as one child behind. Even they'd take not a hoof. But they all drank of that same spiritual meat, drink, ate of that same spiritual meat, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now when you think of that, well, that's all the children they brought in. Every one of the whole tribe. But when you think of that rock, every one of you have been born into this world sometime or other. And my, when you got a nice, comfortable home and all the conveniences that you can think of, oh, you're just sitting pretty. You just whatever you want. Have everything just the way you want it. But before you get very old, you little children, you'll find out you're not on a solid rock. You're on the earth. And the earth is not standing still to hold you on. No, it's spinning around as fast as it can go. And that isn't all. Time goes along with it. You're born over here. You go through this life in and out and up and down. And here you go out. Where do you go from here? This is no place where you find a solid rock to build upon. Dear souls, Christians, your foundation is on a rock. It never will move. It's Christ. And is he an earthly citizen? No. He's in heaven. What is he in heaven? He's the head of his body. He's the head of the church. And all you dear souls here tonight who have been born again, you're on that rock. Don't expect to find anything settled in this earth, on this earth. Can't be done. But keep your hearts and minds fixed upon Christ. And then what do you find? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Everything that is a man is of no value whatever. Well, then here, what about the woman? Well, she says, he says to her then, she said to him rather, verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now he answered, and remember this verse, dear souls. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the water out of Jacob's well. That's the thing that this world has to offer. And oh, if one may use such an application, think of the many that have been in this room in the past 3 days. Every one of you hungry. Every one of you thirsty. Oh, you say, I wasn't either. Well, it looked like it when you stood in line to go to eat. You could eat and drink. A hunger for something for your body. But how many of us have really had a hunger and thirst in the soul to know more of Christ? Whosoever drinketh of this water, anything that this world has to offer, and it's got its glory tinseled worse than it ever was, and it is pleasure and sin for a season, but what can it do to satisfy your soul? Not a thing. Not a thing. So he was speaking of the thing that this whole world has to offer. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. Well, you're thirsty every day anyway, don't you? Is that what he meant? No. No, you're born into this world, you're going out of it. You can't stay here. It's under judgment. You can't stay here. Where do you go from here? You'll be lost forever unless you know the Lord Jesus, the Savior. But suppose you do die in your sin. And we read in the very Word of God that we have before us about a man who was very rich on earth, had everything he wanted, fared sumptuously every day. But his enemy came along one day and knocked at his door, an enemy called Death, preacher of the old school, took him clear out. And where was he? Was he asleep? Well, his body was laying there, dead, asleep. But where was he? Well, he was in torment. Put it plain as it's written in the Word of God. In torment. And he knew it. He knew it right away. And no remedy for it. Thirsty? How do you know he thirsts again? The Lord himself has told us plainly, and he would speak just as plainly and solemnly tonight to every man, woman, and child in this room. that if you die without knowing Christ as Savior, you'll thirst in another world. What'll you be there? Oh, you've been pretty well off down here. You're rich. This rich man was. But now what happened? Oh, what became of that old beggar that used to lay at his door? He died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. And way off here in torment, that man could look over there and see Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented down here in this flame. Begging. Did he ever get did Lazarus ever go over there and give him a drop of water? Never. There'll be nothing to satisfy your never dying soul, dear friend, if you die without Christ. And God in love and pity for your soul invites you tonight, and it may be the last night. This is the last night of these meetings. May never be together again. Many we've met here before time, never see them again here on earth. Well, anyway, to go back here now. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but here's something else. Oh, here's another whosoever. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We haven't time to dwell on that side of things, for we want to get those things that will be practical, that you'll put into practice and get benefit of it for all eternity by complying with God's offer in His Word. But notice what that woman said. She said a little prayer. Did she? Well, look what it says then. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Is that the desire of your heart? Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Well, very likely, every one of you who know the Lord as Savior, you say, yeah, that's my longing. Have you gotten completely rid of your old nature? Does it still hanker after anything of this world it has to offer? How much intelligence the woman had in that, we're not told. But the Spirit of God put the words there for your learning and for mine. What is it? You've been delivered from the power of darkness. If you're saved, you're transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You still want to have gone into the world? Dear Christian, is it your longings to drink and that living water and to feed on Christ the living bread so that you won't have any desire keeping your old nature in the place of death so you'll have no desire for the things that this world has to offer to try to make you, have a good time? Doesn't make you happy. You know it only too well. Oh, you say we do. Yeah, we're happy. No, you're not. Just let death knock at your door and you'll find out you're not happy if you're not saved. But dear Christian, what we need, it seems, is to let that be the desire of our hearts. Let us be drinking of Christ, that living water, that we come not to the things of the world to draw anything for our souls, anything that would bring dishonor or reproach upon Him. Well, what's the answer? Jesus saith unto her, go call your husband. She was a bad woman. And coming in contact with him, no wonder there was need for him there. And not only that, he had sent his disciples away to buy bread so he could be alone with her. Now, go call your husband. The conscience has to be reached. And every one of us has a conscience. And you need to keep that conscience tuned up to the Word of God if it's to be a good conscience. You can't depend upon it. You have to be feeding on Christ the living bread and drinking of that living water in order that you don't partake of the things or have any desire to partake of the things that belongs to this world that is almost ripe for judgment. And God Himself pleading with you, holding the doors of mercy open, commanding you even to enter in while the day of mercy lasts. Well, now then, she said, well, I haven't any husband. Talking to Jesus? Yeah, but she didn't know who He was. Hadn't found out yet. Do you know who He is? What is it to you? Well, at any rate, she said, I have no husband. And well, he said, the Lord said, well, you've had five, but the one you'd have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truth, all right. That's true. He knew it better than she did. He knows you better than you know yourself. Now what? Well, then when he said that, then she got another view of him. Oh, I perceive you're a prophet. Got in contact with a prophet, and me guilty. So then she began to talk about worship. But we haven't time to dwell on it. Our time's slipping away too fast. So he tells her, talked about worship. But then come on down now to verse 27. No, we have to go back to 26. 25, I should say. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She did know that. She was a Samaritan woman. She had that much knowledge anyway, but didn't give her any comfort. And what she said, when He comes, He'll tell us all things. Now notice this, what the answer here. Beloved friends, you can take just two little words in that next verse, and you've got the theme that God would have you have before you forever. What is it? Well, let's see. Jesus saith unto her, verse 26, I that speak unto thee am He. Leave out all those extra words and just say, I am. I know that Messiah comes and He'll tell us all things. I am. And how often you get those words in John's Gospel. And most humiliating to think of the low place He took when they came to take Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came to do the Father's will. It was His will. And you can remember, if you go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, how He was there in that Gethsemane's garden. His sweat was like drops of blood. He's singing a little song, and I think it's in the book you've seen here in this room. In pity, angels beheld Him when He came from the world of light to comfort Him in the sorrows He bore for my soul that night. For me it was in the garden He prayed. Not my will, but thine. He had no tears for His own griefs. But what did He have for yours? For mine. Sweat drops of blood for mine. But He said, do the will of the Father. And so He goes on to the cross and completes it there. But however now, coming back again, it says here, I am. And when they came to take Him in that Garden of Gethsemane, what happened? Why, He stepped out and says, whom seek ye? Jesus, the Son of God. No. Jesus of Nazareth, that despised man, that brought up in that despised city. And He says, I am. That's who I am. And more than that, beloved friends, God is so completely concerned that you know who Jesus is, that after He'd gone back to glory, when Saul was on the scene and hating everything that pertained to Christ, as the devil does to this night, he hates everyone that's a member of the body of Christ. So He called him. The Lord called Saul. Why persecutest thou me? And he said, well, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, what? I am the Son of God. Or Jesus, we could say, I am the Lord. No. But the Lord said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth? And up there in glory? How can that be? He didn't have to give any questions there, for he found out who it was. And he said, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is it your desire, dear Christian, to do what the Lord would have you to do? Saul was just converted then. And oh, how precious it is to see fathers and mothers with a desire to bring their little ones up and to teach them about the Lord Jesus and tell them that he's the friend of children and the friend of sinners and the friend all the way through. There is no other friend like him. But at any rate, now, when you think of that, there come the disciples. And they saw him talking with the Lord. Well, but what did the woman do before? Oh, when he told her that when the disciples came, and he said in verse 27, and they marveled that he talked with the woman, and yet didn't say anything about it. They didn't dare. No man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And what did the woman do? She left her water pot behind and went to the men and says, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? It tells us that, believe, beloved friends, of her old life completely done away. Who in Samaria, who of the men in Samaria would have believed her if she come carrying her water pot in the same way that she did before? Perhaps not one. But perhaps she did not forget it. I don't like that thought exactly, that she forgot her water pot. She left it. She left her old life and went in and told about Jesus. Oh, dear souls, have you got a story to tell? Have you got something about your old life? Don't, no use of telling it. But tell about him that you delivered you from it and made you his own child forever. That's the kind of a Savior God had provided for you. Well, now what happened? Well, here are the disciples. And when the woman's gone, well, here's the food now. Oh, he says, I have meat to eat that you don't know anything about. Now they begin talking amongst themselves, you know, reason. Do you suppose somebody brought him something? I don't know. I couldn't say how they did. Well, did you suppose he did? He knew what they're talking about. He knows you too, dear soul. Young or old, what's he got to say to you? He can say to you the very same thing that he said to these disciples. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. What was the meat to eat? Drink at the cross, for one thing, to fulfill the scriptures, but to do the will of God. And it's most remarkable to think, farther on in this gospel, the Lord Jesus is talking again about his sheep there, and he speaks about the Jewish sheep that he led out of the fold, and then about other sheep. And then he tells them, you know, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, nobody's going to take my life from me. I got part laid down again. And I got part laid down, take it up again. And I got that from my Father. Now what? What's next? Therefore doth my Father love me. Didn't he love him anyway? Always loved him. Always was the object of his delight. But he loved him more from a different manner now, because he was willing to perfectly glorify God on the earth by laying down his life and taking it up again. Now, what for? So that he could have you and me in relationship with himself. Now, how are we going to get strength to go on? John the Baptizer, you could say, at first when he saw him, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Put it a little plainer. See God's Lamb. And then when he found out who it was, oh, it's the Son of God. And he could only think of, see, God's Lamb. That's the Lamb. Now, if there's anything that will wean us away from the world, it's being occupied with that man in whom God finds his delight, and the only one in whom you and I can find delight. So, before we have a little word of prayer, let's sing a little chorus. It isn't on our hymn sheet, but it's in your Echoes of Grace hymn book. But the chorus is this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's all sing it if you know it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.